here on June 2nd at 2 o'clock. And just to let everybody know that this meeting is being held by Zoom webinar, and everything was posted on the agenda. So council people present, I see. Please tell me I didn't mock up. Hello?
No, you're good.
All right, looks like everybody's picture went away for a minute. So, all right, I have Councilman Smiley, Councilwoman Durham, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Council President Hartley Nagel, Councilman Jay Street, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Carter, Councilman Bell. I see Councilwoman Diller. And I think
I'm here.
See Councilman, and Councilman, is that Dave Tackett? I think I can see here. It just says Councilman Da. So
yeah, that's got to be it. Nobody left.
So I need a motion for the minutes of the previous meeting held on
Friday. Motion to approve is provided.
Second.
All those in favor?
All right,
and next we're going to go right into the agenda. If I can pull it up here quickly. Sorry, I'm working on two computers here trying to bring it up on the second screen. Okay, so first we have a presentation for it's the phase plan for parks, and I think that's going to be Kendall Summers. Unless Tracy, unless you have something you want to say first, or?
No, this is Tracy, and it will be Kendall Summers. I just wanted to state that Marcus Henry and Jane Rattani are also joining us because this is a combined plan for both the parks and the recreation activities, and the two departments work together on this. So we're all available to answer questions. And I also want to emphasize, I sent the phase one plan to council members at the end of last week. We will be discussing our tentative plans for the later phases, but I just want to make it clear that those are not set in stone, and it's very tentative, but we at least wanted to give you an idea of our thought process if things continue as we expect. So thank you. With that, I will let Kendall start with the presentation.
Thank you, Tracy. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you for putting that up on the screen. I think it was Chrissy. Good afternoon, and thank you for having us. With the summer season coming upon us quickly, I'm sure you all are receiving some questions, as we are, about when are we reopening parks? What does that look like? And quite frankly, it's been a very cumbersome process to try to sort out. Information comes out, it seems like daily, with recommendations on how to reopen and what to reopen when. We have partnered with community services and have had a lot of discussions about how we can do this holistically together and work with each other to open everything and have everything ready for the public as quickly as we can. We've also worked with the state. Obviously, we're following the Delaware reopening plan. And in that plan, the governor outlines general guidelines for reopening facilities and also has industry guidelines. And within those industry guidelines, parks and recreation facilities are included. So we're really trying to follow the state's guidance very closely. We've had a number of meetings with other park and recreation organizations in the state. So we've been coordinating with Delaware State Parks, the City of Newark, the City of Wilmington, and Kent County Parks and Recreation as well. So with that, the first phase, which started actually yesterday, June 1st, is when the state of emergency ended. We started to phase in reopening some of our amenities that had been closed in parks. Some of the easiest things to reopen included our tennis courts and our pickleball courts. So those gates have been unlocked and they are open for recreational play right now. At this point, we are not taking reservations for teams to use the courts. And we are obviously encouraging the social distancing that is recommended by the governor's office. Our indoor facilities remain closed at this time. And as far as pickleball goes, we are highly recommending singles play instead of doubles play, just because it's easier to maintain that social distance. Our dog parks also, fenced in dog parks, also reopened yesterday. We are requiring that masks be worn while people are inside the fenced-in area. And that's just because of the number of people that are typically within the dog parks and the gathering that happens in the fenced area. We have posted signs on all of our fenced dog parks, so that should be clear to all the people visiting. The skate park at Glasgow Park reopened yesterday as well. Our playgrounds are still closed at this point, and that is outlined in the governor's recommendations that playgrounds should not be opened yet. Basketball courts remain closed as well. Our biggest concern with opening basketball courts is that close physical interaction of people playing. Our permits office, so this has been the, I guess, most technical thing to try to reopen. We have opened our permits yesterday, but we are not permitting anything prior to June 15th. So that's when we will go live with having our pavilion rentals resume and some of our events in parks. And part of that is just the cleaning requirements that are recommended by the governor. We just can't keep up with for some of these events. If you go on to the next slide. This is a continuation for phase one. This is kind of the recreation side of opening. You may know that our farmers markets at Carousel Park opened up last week, and Glasgow and Bellevue will be opening this Friday. We've modified those farmers markets. They are drive-through markets. Nobody gets out of their car. They just drive through the market and get the products that they like. I believe that Carousel went well. It was probably less attended, but it went well. So we will continue to do farmers markets in that fashion until the governor's recommendations are changed. Carousel Park, we were able to open the cross-country and dressage course. We can do that relatively safely and keep people physically distanced. Those two courses don't typically have use of multiple people at the same time. Rockwood Museum, we're doing some guided garden tours, which is all outdoors. And obviously we're limiting capacity so that we can encourage social distancing and not break any of those close encounter guidelines. Community Services is also coordinating with the Grand. This is an effort to kind of find something new and different that we can offer to people so that they have something to do since everything is closed down. So they've coordinated with the Grand to do some drive-in events, concerts in areas. These won't necessarily be in the park, but they're co-sponsored by the Grand and the county, and they will be using our showmobile. So the target start date for that is later in June, June 20th. Under the governor's recommendations, pools are allowed to open. They were allowed to open last weekend at a 20% deck capacity. So as you know, we have one pool in our system, Surratt Pool. We haven't opened it yet. We have a construction project going on there. So the pool opening will be to be determined once we have a better understanding of lifeguard staffing and the finalization of the construction project. So that's a basic overview of phase one, and I'll stop there in case someone has questions for where we are right now.
Any questions? No questions. Councilman Carter.
Yes, Kendall. When are we anticipating reopening play structures?
That is a good question. And I will get to it in a couple other of the future slides. I don't necessarily have a date that I can tell you when we're going to do that, but we are ready to open playgrounds in a phased-in fashion once we get the okay from the state.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Karen Hartley Nail. You're muted.
Yeah, Kendall, will we be able to get a copy of this that we can, I'm hoping that you have something that we can put out to the public?
Certainly, yes.
through social media, so it's easy for them to see and they know when everything is opening up?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, this is Jane Rattini with the Department of Community Services. I just wanted to provide a few updates on the recreation side since, you know, that have just occurred in the past day. In regard to the farmers markets, we have been able to adapt our plan and we'll be offering walkthrough markets at all three locations, which will begin this Friday, June 5th. So we're really pleased about being able to meet the requirements of Department of Agriculture and keep visitors and vendors and staff safe. Carousel Park will be opening Monday, June 8th for the cross country and dressage course. And Rockwood Museum, we have not set an opening date for the garden tours, but that will be within the next few weeks as soon as possible. In regard to the drive-in movie allowance under the governor's rules, the drive-in concerts are approved. And as Kendall mentioned, we're working with the Grand for a few events. But we also are moving forward with returning our free concert series at Glasgow Park in July. We work with Gable Music Ventures, and we will be conducting drive-in concerts there that will be continue to be free to the public as we did last summer. Thank you.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick, you're muted. You're muted. There you go.
I'm sorry. Okay, I just want to clarify that the PowerPoint that was requested, Chrissy sent us all of that. She sent it at noon today.
Yes. Correct.
It's already in your mailbox. In your email mailbox.
Councilman Street.
Yeah, since Jane's on the call, when are we anticipating starting the summer lunch program?
We are working with the city, and I just emailed Kevin Kelly and Nicole Adams as recent as last week about a start date. They do plan to continue the program, you know, that they instituted since school closed and expand to the four or five parks in the Route 9 corridor. So I am waiting word back on the start date, but I would hope that it will be this month.
Well, I'm just concerned because there has to be some coordination between the districts and the city, because at some point, based on the school calendar year, that they're going to start the emergency feeding program. And I would hope that the day they stop that, that's the day that we begin the summer lunch program, because I just don't want to see any downtime with these kids who may not otherwise eat if they don't participate in the program.
Yes, sir. And I'll follow up again this week about the start date.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else? Janet, did you just? I guess not. And I think Marcus, I knew that you might want to just speak a little bit here too. Am I correct?
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
No, I don't have anything really to add. I mean, you know, this whole plan, I think we've worked very well together, Public Works and Community Services. But please understand, we're under tremendous pressure to just follow the guidance set by the governor. And that guidance changes every week. So I think we're just doing the best we can right now. But I think this plan makes a lot of sense. I commend Kendall and Jane and Tracy for the work to make this happen.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. And is that the last slide?
No, there's a couple more slides on here. If you go ahead and forward. So at first we made this plan into a three-phased reopening strategy to go along with the state's strategy. But since then, it's kind of changed, and we have more of a rolling reopening with the state. So we're hesitant to give dates for the upcoming changes that'll happen in the future. It was anticipated that each of the phases would last 2 weeks. So a potential phase two, our target date was around June 15th or somewhere in that area. And when that happens, we were hoping that our playgrounds will reopen. Now, given the state's guidance, I'm not positive if we will open all of our playgrounds or if we will phase in reopening of the playgrounds. Obviously, the easiest ones to open are our neighborhood parks and our district parks, just because they get less use. Social distancing is easier to maintain on those playgrounds. The other issue we have is the sanitation requirement of playgrounds. If that becomes a requirement, that'll make it harder for us to open the playgrounds, just because we have over 100 playgrounds in our system and we don't have the staff to be able to sanitize playgrounds regularly. So when we do open them, we will have signage to make sure that anyone visiting understands that, you know, we aren't out there every 10 minutes with a mop and soap cleaning off the slide. We hope to phase in the basketball courts in phase two as well. I know that we are getting a lot of requests for basketball. They are a facility that is missed. The sports fields, it is very clear that competitive sports should not resume, but we are looking at opening up our soccer, football, and baseball, softball fields for pickup play, or for some youth clinics, which are allowed under the state's guidance, and also for practices with people having limited number of people on a field, so 10 people or less. We would look to reinstall the porta pots in the parks during this phase. And part of the reason for kind of delaying this is the sanitation requirements that are out there. It's the recommendation is to clean surfaces every 15 minutes to 2 hours. So as we look to put the porta pots back into the park, we will look to either try to add hand sanitizer to the porta pots, or see if I'm looking to see what it would take if we had them come and do a more regular cleaning schedule of the porta pots. But again, we will probably phase that in. We typically reduce the number of porta pots in the parks in the wintertime. So I would envision us putting those out first, and then in a week or so going back to our regular summer schedule. Permits, again, will go live on the 15th, so that kind of fits into the phase two of the reopening. We are going to request that people who get a permit for pavilions, we are going to have them provide hand sanitizer for the patrons that will be using the pavilion. Any group activity or special event, we are asking and requiring a safety plan to be submitted with their permit. And we're just making sure that they're following the recommendations from the state. Next slide. So again, just like the first, this is the recreation side of a tentative phase two. And you just start to see more of our facilities opening up. So Rockwood will have the museum opening up and following the industry guidelines outlined in Delaware's reopening plan. Carousel Park will be opening up some riding lessons with limited participation to keep social distancing in mind. We're hoping to open the Fraser House to, again, some limited programming. Youth sports, we will be able to resume some half-day clinics. The art studio will open again. Since this is an indoor facility, we will limit participation and most likely have a mask requirement for the participants. And then we're also looking to start reopening our rec centers in a phase two, obviously limiting capacity and what we can do with the rec centers. And we aren't looking to open senior programming at this point until a final phase. Jane, I'm not sure if you have anything to add for recreation.
No, thank you. unless there's any questions.
Well, I'll go on to the final phase so you can see the timeline out. But the final phase is when we basically get back to normal operations, but with physical distancing in mind. So pavilions, we will, I left this out. When we open pavilions, we will reduce capacity on the 15th. So if a pavilion has 100-person capacity, we will reduce it to 50% to encourage that social distancing. In the final phase, we'll take those restrictions off and we'll go back to full capacity. Pickleball will be available at our indoor facilities in the final phase. All of our playgrounds will be reopened. All of our special events will resume. We will still ask for a safety and social distancing plan when they get a permit from us. And then we'll also allow tournaments, but again, we'll ask for a safety plan, and there could potentially be some modifications to the tournaments as we move forward. And I think there's one last slide. So again, the recreational part in the final phase, pony rides and parties at Carousel Park will resume, schooling and horse shows will get back to normal. Rockwood will open more. This is when our ghost tours will resume. We won't be holding those until we have more of a full opening. The Route 9 Readers Cafe will open, but not before the libraries, and it will follow the guidelines set forth for food services in the state's recommendations. Summer camps, I know that community services are having conversations about how to do summer camps, if we can do summer camps. It is very tricky. I just got off another call with some local park providers of how can we implement the summer camps with all of the guidelines from public health in the state. So we hope to resume those in July at some point, but that's still up in the air. Our sports leagues are ready to play tomorrow, but we're waiting until we get the okay, and we'll resume leagues probably with modified rules to increase personal safety. Again, all of our sponsored events, Pets in the Park, those types of things will resume with social distance practicing in mind. And it's in this final phase that we will resume all of our senior programming. So again, that's just when we get back to hopefully close to normal operations. And I guess in saying this, I also want to point out that obviously you guys know that we have started testing in the county, and all of these things, because this is such a fluid operation, things could get delayed longer, they could open up earlier. It really depends on the guidance that's coming out. If we have a setback in the number of cases, or we have a hot spot or something happens, we will obviously reserve the right to need to close facilities or take a step back in our reopening. So with that, I'm happy to take any other questions that you might have.
Does anyone have any questions? I can't see anybody. There we go. Councilman Carter.
I think the plan's reasonable, looks good. Great work. I know it's hard. You guys are going through this. The one question I had is for rentals, for these safety plans, will you be providing them a base template or something to guide them? I'm just afraid they'll be all over the board, and both for you guys that have to review those, as well as the people that may or may not really be thinking it through writing these plans, have something to guide them through it that's somewhat standardized, but gives them room for flexibility.
So that is a great question, and I worry about the burden that that's going to put on us in the permits office. But I think we are referring them to the governor's guidelines and asking them to follow those restrictions. So far, and there honestly haven't been many, so far people have done just that. A lot of times some of our permits are for sports fields or for courts. So somebody who was looking to reserve courts in the future went to U.S. Tennis Association and pulled their guidelines. We're seeing all of these sports organizations coming out with their own guidelines. So it hasn't been a problem yet. We're working through it, and we'll see how it goes.
Whatever works, I'm just be ready for that if it gets.
Yeah. We're referring them to the other national organizations or the state for the guidance, and I just want something in writing so that we know everyone's thinking about the safety impact of it.
Yeah, I do think it's a great idea. I'm just thinking in terms of standardizing it if you can to make it easier on you and the state.
Certainly.
And also make sure that if we have any minimum requirements, maybe you should have legal look at it to make sure that whatever we request or approve in there, we don't open ourselves up to any liability issues.
Yep. Yes. I've worked with law in what language should or shouldn't be included in our permits. So those are all conversations that are ongoing.
Good. Makes me happy to hear that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman. So, Kendall, two quick questions. Thank you. First off, if you're going to limit the amount of occupancy, perhaps that could be at a pavilion, are you going to keep the rental fees the same?
At this point, we are. We have no plans in changing them.
Okay. And then secondly, what if like small little groups, per se, want to come to our county parks and do let's say practice games, you know, or some things like that per se in the fields, you know, that are obviously permitted or regulated per se by them. Is that going to be allowed?
So obviously our parks are open for visitors. And this kind of goes back to where we were even before pre-COVID. We can't prevent people from coming into the parks and doing what they're going to do. If it's a permittable field or activity, we would obviously ask them to have a permit, in which case they would provide that safety plan. I'm not real sure how we can stop a Y coming into our park and having some kind of program. From what I'm seeing, I think that might self-police itself. With people in the park calling us to report it. And obviously we won't encourage it. And if we see it happening, we'll try to address it the best we can.
Yeah, so small little groups, you know, whatever, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, you know, kids or something, they want to come in and do a little, whatever, volleyball game or a little soccer game or something. I mean, that'd be something that we would, not want to try to regulate or be opposed to at this point, correct?
I mean, at this point, I don't know how we can really enforce not doing it. And as long as they're following safety and social distancing guidelines, I don't know what we can do.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Councilman Street?
I hope Marcus and Community Service are still around. And if you are, where are we with some of you?
Can you guys hear me? Okay, go ahead. Jane, you want to answer that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we are working closely with the Department of Labor to modify our summer youth program this year to be able to, put to work our youth and also work under the restrictions of the employment sites. That has been a large struggle because many of our employment sites are shut down for the summer. However, we are looking at virtual opportunities for work-based learning and also expanding our employment opportunities to include job shadowing and internship availability. So we do plan to begin our program the end of June. 1st of July, as much as possible, we are doing online in regard to orientation and training and then placing the youth throughout the county.
I understand we're in a situation and we got to be responsive to the pandemic and all that, but I trust, well, I'm asking that you remind Teron that actually beginning the summer youth programs and summer youth work programs throughout the country were a result of the initial riots in the 60s. And the more people we can put to work, the better off we're going to be. And I'm going to try to have that conversation with him, and I hope you can too. And if we got any, if we have any additional resources laying around where we can put more people to work, the better off we'll be, because the more people we, the more kids we can hire, the less hot the summer.
Yes.
Can I just say a few other things? I agree with that sentiment, and Jane and her staff work very closely with this program with the Department of Labor. You know, our urgency right now, Councilman Street and everybody else, is the placement of these kids in some work, in, you know, meaningful work environment. So we're going to look at county facilities, libraries, wherever else we can. The challenge is the placement right now, but we're going to work that out the best we can. I'm happy to give a further update, I guess, in about a couple of weeks at our community services hearing to go over that in more detail, because I think more information will be available by then anyway.
Anyone else? No, I don't see anything. Anything under other? Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, I'm going to take advantage, if everyone doesn't mind, of the extra, of the spare time that we have, just to bring you up to speed on a couple of things that have come up, put out for notice. At the June, during the June 23rd Finance Committee meeting, we will be going into executive session to get an update from law on the reassessment lawsuit that's going on. I, you know, put an email out before we wanted it. We wanted to make sure there was some information available. So that will be happening on June 23rd during the Finance Committee meeting. We're doing the executive session. Also, sometime either tonight or tomorrow, by the end of tomorrow, I want to give you a heads up on the June 9th council meeting. During that meeting, there will be 7 CDBG resolutions that are funded through the CARES Act, coming through community services. Grants going to City of Newark, Community Legal Aid, Family Promise of Newcastle County, Ministry of Caring, Salvation Army, YWCA. So those will handle individually, and I just preface that to get it out of the way to let you know there will also be, for the CARES Act funding as council had requested, there will be 21 individual resolutions for the fire companies and 13 different resolutions for the municipalities, for a total of 34 there. What I'm asking is for council members to take the time between tomorrow, when they'll be posted on the agenda, to take a look at them before next Tuesday night. And my hope would be council could agree to have read in and do the fire companies as one vote and do the municipalities as one vote rather than running 34 individual votes. So I ask you to take a look at them in advance. They're very detailed with the dollar amount and everything else. So if you have any questions, you can contact finance, John or I, or whatever. But excuse me, since we know this in advance, I didn't think it would be right to wait till the last minute to pop it out there. This gives everyone, you know, 5-6 days to take a look at them. And if we can't reach agreement on that, then we'll just run through the votes. I have no problem with that. But the ones that come through community services, I believe we should just do them as we normally do, because they are various entities. So I just wanted to give everybody advance notice.
Thank you. Councilman Street?
Well, George, you started it.
Well, I'm not making a motion, so we can wait and
argue. I understand, and I know everybody's going to essentially say, I can pound sand, but we're talking about whatever's going to happen next week and spending money. And we got a letter last week requesting that we give most of the money to the state. And so I'm hoping that somebody from the administration is here and saying where we are with that, because for those of us who have may have the view that the state can go pound sand, I want to remind us that, and remind the administration, General Assembly is always in a position to just basically say, pay me now, pay me later. Because if we don't have some type of agreement, we can be punished for it and what we are receiving from them in our budget out of their regular revenue.
Just let me clarify, if I may, that the funds we're talking about in these resolutions are the funds that council approved at the last council meeting, $85 million. So these are the funds that council already approved to be disseminated to these organizations. I understand what you're saying. Matter of fact, I had the discussion with a representative the other day, and I told her what I told them all. I don't do well with threats. Do what you got to do. You know, I understand what we're saying, but bottom line is we can't break federal law for them either. But these are funds that council has already allocated and earmarked. I mean, yeah, and earmarked. So it's just the resolutions are coming forward, the process that we wanted, move the money, and then for openness and transparency, do a separate piece for every one of them. So just give your word up front, just try to move it.
George, I'm sorry. Yeah. Aren't the block grants separate? They're not under the 85,000, are they?
You mean the 85 million? The CDBG ones are different, are separate.
Okay, that's what I wanted to check. Yeah,
That's why I said my. I believe council should do those seven individually.
That's perfect. You're right. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, just looking at the fire departments and the municipalities, still two separate votes because of the separate entities. That's all. And if not, Lord knows I got time, but I just wanted to put it out there so council members would have ample time to review them, and we wouldn't hear what we keep hearing at these where they didn't know they were there. I mean, we got to keep looking at the postings to get the information. So that's all. I just thought it would be the right thing to do to bring it out front ahead of time.
Anything else under other? Councilman Street?
I'm on close with this. You know, some members of this council and representatives from the administration did a great job last year in going down and lobbying and working things through, I think, to everybody's benefit. And I'm just respectfully suggesting that some of those same individuals who have a good rapport with the General Assembly, we need to be trying to have some discussions and working with one another and try to work things out as opposed to in this historical bad time going down the road of governments fighting governments. It doesn't do the people that we serve any good. I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do, what not to do. I'm just respectfully suggesting that governments suing governments and governments fighting governments doesn't help what we're supposed to be doing in this very, very difficult time.
Councilman Street, I couldn't agree with you anymore. Anything else on the other? Seeing none, Councilman Kilpatrick?
If we're going to adjourn, can I just ask Councilman Street to stay on for a second?
Does that mean you want the rest of us to leave?
I don't care. I just don't want him to hang up right yet. I want to talk to him for a second.
Okay. Is there anything under public comment?
Councilman Woods, I'm not sure if Marcus has a question or not.
I don't. I apologize.
Okay.
Is there anybody else?
No other.
All right. Motion to adjourn. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Meeting's adjourned. So you
I'm going to eavesdrop.
Okay, not a problem.